Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Susan Taylor Shear. She is an author, teacher, and intuitive counsellor, and we are going to discuss her latest book, which is called Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation. And she sincerely believes it is a path to get us there, building on the foundation of her two other life changing books called Soul Mastery, Accessing the Gifts of Your Soul and Soul Radiance, and Bring Your Soul Riches to Life. So welcome to the program, Susan.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, I must say. Now, sometimes I open these talks with the question of where did it all start for you, because where you've reached now, I mean, I realise sort of reading parts from your book and what it covers, you obviously have a very good comprehension of a soul's journey. So what took you on your one?
Well, you know, mine was a fairly simple one in the outer standpoint. I know I have listened to others speak, and it seems like if you've had a near-death experience or something of that nature, that qualifies you to understand the soul's journey. But I don't believe it has to be all challenges to make you strong. I feel like the soul is meant to be something that unfolds through us. And that seems to have been my life path to this point. You know, I was born, in a sense, unwanted and unloved. You know, my mother didn't really want another child, and she got twins. So, of course, you know, I have some emotional wounding that I've had to deal with, but I believe that it was part of my soul already felt unloved and unwanted, or I had what I call a challenge of my soul, a barnacle on my soul, as I call it, that I came with, and in this lifetime, my journey has been to really reconnect fully with every aspect of my soul so that its sense of being love could actually be embodied here and fulfilled here, and so my life could be full and free. But I found myself, after, you know, normal college and all of that, going to a spiritual community. And when I went to a spiritual community, I knew that the reason I did that was because it was very important for me to do something other than the standard. I was just sort of drawn to it. It was like one thing after another showed up, and I started taking different classes and courses and enjoying the journey, and I realized that my whole mission purpose was to bridge the soul world, the world of spirit, and our physical life so they don't have to be two separate things. So we don't meditate all day and then go out and live a life that we're not very happy about.
Mm. So would it be true to say that initially you were looking for love outside of yourself, whereas you probably found it within?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And connecting to the soul, which is connected to everything, everywhere, love, peace, you name it, every quality of spirit you could ever want, is part of our soul and its capacity to hold all those qualities of spirit. When you connect to that, then you can have the life that you want. And, you know, there's endless choices of kinds of things you can experience in this life.
Absolutely, yes. Do you think, nevertheless, that we do come in with a life plan?
I don't believe we really get too hard and fast about a life plan. I think there are possibilities that we line up with, and we say this would be a creative choice and this would be a creative choice. And especially now with this whole matter, I'm just adjusting my headset. I'm hearing myself hissing at you, which doesn't sound good. But with this whole matter of 2012, I believe that one of the currents that comes with 2012 is that sense that we are now in a place of free choice. There is nothing set up in stone for anyone individually or for the collective. So now it's entirely up to us. So when we say, you know, do we come with a life path in design, yes, we might have, and now it's all up to free choice.
Right.
Yeah.
So just popping back to your comments about having a near-death experience, did you get a typical one where you found yourself sort of going through?
I did not have a near-death experience.
Oh, you didn't, right.
Sorry, no, I was saying that I didn't have a near-death experience. So
right.
Many people who are psychic and intuitive and, you know, writing books
okay.
have had amazing things going on. And,
yes.
Mine is not that dramatic.
Okay. I was obviously interested if you had in...
I know!
Well, it's always interesting, though, how it affects people, but there tends to be a sort of pattern of a kind. But that's fine. Okay, so you're talking about 2012 and free choice, and I think that's totally correct. But nevertheless, the sort of work you're doing, I believe you would agree, is helping to prepare people for a year like this when, by all accounts, it's going to end on a high. And we're going to get some quite profound changes.
Yes, I absolutely agree that it is not just ending on a high, but moving towards a high. I believe that there's more of a process than a date that we're going
yeah.
towards, because mm-hmm. I don't believe spirit really has a particular, you know, spirit talks about living in the present moment. I don't believe there really is one moment that stands out in time as a monumental one, but the process of moving towards it is bringing a sense of soul urgency that I'm finding with everyone. That it's like, I really want to be part of something very large. And so my job is to help people line up with their creative abilities to be part of that something
wow.
large and find their way in it. Yes.
Yes, I like to call this particular time one of ascension, and I think in that case, of course, we've been working towards that, I think, for a long time, and it will continue afterwards, but it seems to be a very key point in that process.
I agree. And there's nothing like, you know, a large wave coming in to activate our largeness. You know, we have created a sense of creative pressure at this point, which is really great, which allows us to go, I want to be on that bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it catapults us.
I'm sure, nevertheless, there are some people who aren't ready and they have no particular interest in it. But then
right.
again, that's their free choice, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, it's very much a free choice. And I believe that we're going to see a lot of people suffering who have chosen to stay in fear and either ignore it or, you know, there's so many options. They can either ignore it or they can say, I'm terrified of it and something horrible is going to happen, and then that's going to be their reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
That's how it works.
Oh, I agree again that we do create our own reality. Now, on the cover of your book, or as another part of your title, you say the return home from separation. What is separation?
Oh, good. Separation, you know, I see separation as being not connected. And it's usually the parts of us, not all of us, because our soul keeps us connected at some level always to all of spirit. But there are parts of us that are not connected due to times in our lives, either yesterday or many moons ago, when we actually got disconnected based on a sense of fear, based on a sense of choosing all sorts of odd things, protection, smallness, not wanting to get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. And when we do that, then what happens is we get disconnected in that part of ourself. And so what we're talking about in this book, Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation, is the fact that all wounds really boil down to wounds of separation. And so in order to heal all of our wounds, physical, emotional, mental, you know, self-sabotaging mechanisms, etc., it's to get reconnected, reunited with our connection, and expand our connection in the places where we have held separation.
Right. Now, on the same subject, you talk of creating a partnership with the divine. Would you accept also the word God or the God force or God energy?
Yeah, all of the above. You know, it's all in what we see as God, divine, etc. You know, it's just a label. It's just a label. So it includes God, the divine, the universe. You know, there's so many fun words for it. It's great.
Yeah, you can't go wrong, really, can you?
That's right.
But then some people get very touchy about words, and they sometimes don't actually like the use of the word God for that energy or that force that is around us. Now, you mentioned that we've got a deep longing to be in union with the infinite love that only comes from us, from the source. So it begs the question, what is the source?
Okay, what is the source? Well, again, it's a languaging piece. Source really can be a universal dimension of oneness. It doesn't have to be a pinprick of light somewhere. It is a sense of universal oneness. And so our source is what I would call almost a universal home base. And a place that we can land in, a place that allows us to feel as though, oh gosh, what shall we call it? All is well. All is well, yeah.
Right. Well, you went on to say that Soul Reunion provides the precise steps to heal the wounds that prevent us from having that true longing fulfilled. So what type of wounds do you find people have that actually hold them back?
Everything. Every wound that we have is a wound of separation. So that can be either cancer. It can be a feeling of being abandoned. It can be a feeling of doubt. All of those are wounds of separation. They're just different levels and different intensities of those.
Right.
Yeah. So everything, that's what, you know, in essence I'm saying is that everything ends up being a wound of separation. And the reason I say that is not to just leave us sort of stuck in a sense of, well, now what, but gives us a sense of, okay, so if everything is a wound of separation, then all we have to do is get those places reconnected and we're good to go. It makes it very easy to do what we call the healing process.
Well, it's part of your workshop, teaching people how to do a healing process?
Yes, absolutely. It's not even just the workshop. The book itself talks about it. You can read the book and get everything you need about all the little tools, et cetera, about how to heal wounds of separation.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of that is to do with imbalances within a person's level of consciousness?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and that imbalance in levels of consciousness bring about a sense of, you know, I don't talk too much about the ego because I think there's a part of the ego that is just fine. I talk more about fear as our basic wound. But levels of consciousness relate to sort of misunderstandings and having our consciousness disconnected from the soul spirit that we are. So it means we're unconscious and not awake to the fact of bringing spirit into our creation, what we are creating in every moment. We're not including it. We're not co-creating. And that's a big part of lack of consciousness, I find.
Do you think then, on the same subject, that things like cancer or perhaps most illnesses of that kind are caused because we are out of balance?
Yes. Well, what it relates to is, for instance, a cancer will be, you know, they say it's cells that are in essence almost destroying the body. You know, they're life cells that turn into cells that are sort of destroying, okay?
Yeah.
So what that means is you've got a mechanism in your body that turns what should be life force into on itself to be more of a destructive than a creative element within you.
Right, yes.
And that's usually a deeper wound that causes you, and it's unconscious, that causes you to behave in that way.
Right. So healing those sort of illnesses isn't then very straightforward, and as we know, cancer itself is a very difficult thing to get rid of, isn't it?
Yes, because people are not getting to the root cause of it. They're dealing with the physical part and sometimes with the emotional part, but they're not getting to the root cause of the deeper, what I would call, you know, I don't even like using the word spiritual because it gets so distorted, but the deeper cause, which is where have I gotten disconnected and where have I not allowed, with cancer, it often relates to love. Where have I not allowed the spirit of love in my life? I may be a great caregiver, but I'm not allowing myself to be fed by my soul, my spirit, my heart, by love, all those dimensions. And therefore,
right,
you don't have life force coming into you to feed you.
Right, yes.
There are areas that are represented by where the cancer shows up.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Seems to make good sense to me. Now, in part one of your book, you refer to that as looking deeply at how our connection with spirit manifests and operates. Tell us a little bit about that.
Let's see, what did I say?
<I'm just kidding. laughs> Well, you spoke of the wealth of our connection, our sacred heart,
yeah,
our true heart,
well,
and ways to expand and activate our connection. You got it.
I do remember that. I do remember the sacred heart. But
right.
When I talk about connection, what I'm speaking about is that sense that connection is a very expanded place. It's an ongoing place. We're always increasing our sense of connection. And that's what makes us not just spiritual beings, but connected beings. And it allows us to be more alive in our life. It's like an hourglass. The more we expand in our connection to the larger dimensions of universal qualities of spirit, peace, joy, and etc., strength, confidence, all of those things, as we do that in ourselves and embody those, feel them in our heart, a sense of peace, love, joy, whatever it is that we are wanting, when we feel those on the inside, then we have a place in our, and I'll go into the sacred heart in a minute, but when we feel that on the inside, then we have a home base for our soul or spirit connection. And then we start to feel more connected. We feel like we're living from our place of connection versus just knowing connection in a moment of meditation and then going into life as a different person altogether.
Right, yes. I see quite naturally that part two of your book does in fact cover how we reconnect.
Yes.
Would you say that's a very difficult thing to do?
No. that's why I've been doing all this work for many years, is to make it easier, easier, and easier, because as things speed up and we become more creative, we don't have much time to sit and meditate for hours or, you know, go to endless workshops to figure things out. The tools that I have in that book and the other books are really very quick, quick to absorb tools and ways to get reconnected again. Because if it was a heavy-duty, long process, who's going to do it? And that's just not fun.
No.
You know, it's supposed to be get what you need of your connection and then bring it into life and enjoy your life. That's how I see life is supposed to be, rather than spending all your time healing, 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 and trying to get reconnected.
Right.
Would you like, I can give you an example, too.
Oh, please, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. So in the second half of the book, I go into all the different emotions that are very typical for us. Helplessness is a great one these days because of the recession. The recession puts us in a place of helplessness. Okay? We feel helpless when we're seeking outside ourselves for love and power, and we feel helpless that we can't get it, and then we get frustrated that it's not there for us. A situation, for instance, doesn't go the way we want it to, or somebody that is important to us isn't changing the way we want them to. We start feeling helpless, that we can't even give what we want to, let alone get what we need. Okay? So that relates to powerlessness. So imagine you have a feeling right now of, and everyone that's listening can just go into the place where they last felt powerless, which is really easy. It's like, let's think about taxes. Tax season, okay? That's a quick one to feel powerless. Or seeing something about what's going on with the government, politicians, et cetera, et cetera. That will make us feel powerless instantly. You know, we can't do anything about what our leaders are not doing, okay? So we go into that place of feeling powerless or helpless. Whether it's in your heart, your gut, wherever it is, feel that place. And that usually takes, you know, you learn to develop the muscle that it gets easier and easier, but it doesn't take much to feel it in your body, helpless and powerless, okay? Then you recognize that you're the one that created that feeling sensation in that moment. You said, I feel powerless. Someone else might not feel that about the situation. You recognize it and you go, what do you need? Well, I need some strength. I need to feel like I'm in command of my life again, is usually what that part will say. Where do you get that sense of being in command in your life? You get it from a spiritual quality of feeling in command of your life. And that's where you go into the sacred heart. And there's a sense in the sacred heart that you can have any quality of spirit that you want. You can even just go to a memory of when you last felt confident and strong in some area of your life. Maybe you felt really good after eating a meal. Who knows? You bring that into your heart. That's the key, is not just to remember it, but bring it into your heart. And you give connection to that part of you feeling helpless and powerless. Was that fairly clear?
Yes. So it's the idea that by returning to those conditions where you felt good and sort of in charge, to try and recreate it and hold on to it?
Yes, to be able to just recreate it, exactly, because it's with you. And the beauty about working with the soul is the soul has connection to all of those qualities. So when you go to what I call your soul essence, and that's what I do with people, is take them on journeys to their soul essences. Essence, when you go to that place, you are able to connect very easily with that quality of spirit because it's existing everywhere, so to speak.
Hmm.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Okay, well, final question on your book part two.
Okay.
What is the way home that you refer to?
you know, there's everyone wants to feel a sense of home base. That's why people losing their houses, et cetera, is so harsh and hard for people, because it makes them feel as though they don't have a home base. Really, all it's doing is reflecting that sense of lack of home base within them that they're already working with. So how to get that sense of home base is so important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of home base, again, is a larger dimensionality of home base. It's a universal home base. When you feel a connection to home and a place inside you where you feel like all is well, or you feel a sense of you're taken care of, those are all qualities of home. And we all need that sense of well-being within us. When we have the ability to hold it within our heart, and the Sacred Heart is behind the heart, when we have the ability to do that and have that anchored within us, that's our true grounding, that's our true sense of home base, to bring all these little aspects of us that feel helpless, powerless, fearful, disconnected, wounded, with cancer, all of that. It gives every part of us a chance to have something to reach for.
Right, yes.
Okay.
I see you actually go on to say that this, having regard to what the book teaches people about having or opening their heart, you're saying it demonstrates how we can reclaim life over death in each of these areas. Did you literally mean death, or is that simply an expression?
That's great. Yes, it really is an expression. But we can reclaim, you know, we can transcend the feeling of death as society has created it. And society has created a sense of death as a finality. You know, that life ends, and there is no such thing as life ending, in fact. So when we start to claim a sense that life never ends, and our parts of us that feel like they're dying, when we start taking care of that and letting go of that being, you know, the big heavyweight, then we go, oh, it's okay to let go of things, and then at some point it's like, I am so glad to let go of my physical body and continue life in another dimension. Then that whole crossing over doesn't have to be such a trauma and drama, because we've done it in the smaller ways in over and over again.
Right. Now, I notice one of your comments relates to souls who you say volunteered to come here with treasures of spirit to assist this world to return to a blueprint fueled by divine love. And this is the point I'm coming to. You say, in fact, souls have been dedicated to coming here for up to 250,000 years from planets that are part of other star systems. Who are you actually referring to? Are you talking about masters or ordinary souls? Could you explain a bit about that?
Sure. You know, actually all of us came from other dimensionalities before coming here. Anyone on this radio show has been around the block and not just on planet Earth. We all feel a sense of larger connection to the universe, etc. We all feel as though there's something more than just this little planet and the religion that says there's no afterlife, so to speak. Most,
yes.
As I say, most of your viewers, etc. Okay? So, what I have discovered, and this was years ago, and, you know, I had someone that helped me understand it, is that we've all come from other worlds before coming here. And when we start to understand the dynamics of these worlds, it helps us understand the specific nature of our soul gifts, because our soul gifts were developed in other worlds. When you think of a soul gift, let me give you an example. I'll use mine as an example, okay? as you can tell, I'm a divine cheerleader. What I'm doing in my life is helping people to get connected, and I am always looking to help people be successful and fulfilled in their lives. And the exciting part of that for me is I'm fulfilling what my soul came to do, and I know from having glimpsed at the fact that I've been doing this kind of thing as a soul in other dimensions, it's like this is as natural as breathing for me. It's not something I had to go out and take a course on. And
right.
Soul fulfillment is accepting the gifts that are ours, getting in touch with them, accessing them, and bringing them forward, and working in our life from those places.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you say that the places we came from, we were known by our true families. Do you think we ultimately make a return to them or link again?
I do. I think we actually do that every night.
Mm.
Yeah, when we think of where we go at night.
Yes.
Where
people
we go.
Will,
yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
We don't just sort of
say that,
out there. Uh-huh.
I understand, according to what is said, that they reckon that everybody goes out of the body at night, but I doubt that too many people actually remember where they went.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But if you're more aware, for instance, if you know that you have spent time on a star system, let's just give an example, okay? Star system like Mintaka, all right? Mintaka is the third star up in Orion's belt, and many people have been there or stopped there. If you're aware of that, then you go, wow, now I understand where I go at night, and it starts to open up your dreams, it starts to open up your sense of feeling that you have a purpose at night for going out someplace, and that's where you get fed, in essence.
Right.
And so it becomes very exciting.
Yes.
Like, yay, I can't wait to go get some real food.
Yeah. I've heard sometimes that it wouldn't do for us all to remember exactly what took place because we probably wouldn't concentrate totally on what we're down here for.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a good thing, but perhaps it's a bit annoying to be told that you do that and you have no memory of it.
It could be, but when you become more conscious of it, then it's like, oh, you wake up feeling something happened. I don't know exactly what, but I bet that's where I went and what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. It is surprising, actually, when you think of these facts that people talk of aliens or extraterrestrials, but of course they overlook the fact that that's exactly what we are.
Exactly.
To somebody else.
Yeah, we're just visiting here. We came here because we wanted to have a physical experience. There's no other world like this. It has such a human dynamic. And we could say, well, what we go and do that for? Because we are explorers and adventurers. And, you know, it's like the movie City of Angels that depicts Nicolas Cage going, oh, well, Meg Ryan may have just died, but look what I get to do. Also, as part of coming to planet Earth, I'm going for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that, but it does show that there is a purpose to life, doesn't it? Because some people probably wonder at times if there is.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And some of it is just to enjoy this experience of life. And when you talk to people that, you know, may be upset about the world as it is, you know, you have to remember that they often are just negating what they do love about life. And it's usually that they love nature, they love animals, they love, you know, maybe it's small children, etc. Everything but human consciousness in separation. And there's not much to like about human consciousness in separation. So, of course, why would you like that?
Yes.
You don't need to relate to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, now you refer to universal abundance. What is that?
universal abundance is the true power that we are looking for. We say we want abundance, and really it's a sense of connection to the all that is and the sense of unlimited possibilities for creation, just connecting to the field of creation. I take people on journeys to their soul essence, their home world, the field of creation, the sense of the place of limitless possibilities, so you can experience that again. And that is the abundance we're all craving when we say, I want more love, I want more money, I want more money, and I want more money. We're really wanting a sense of connection to that field that says anything is possible and you can create and have what you want. But there's a mistranslation that says, I want money because I think that's what's going to give me everything I want.
Mm.
Yeah.
So,
but it's putting the cart before the horse or whatever it's called.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you believe in the law of attraction?
Yes. Yes. I think there is a universal law that what you hold inside you radiates to the whole world and magnetizes to you a direct reflection of what is going on inside of you. So that's why I love getting people more expanded in their connection so they have that available within them so they can attract that to them in their outer life.
Right.
Yeah.
I suspect that at times they don't realize that whatever they focus on is attracted to them. So it doesn't really pay to dwell on the things you don't want.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And that's what some people tend to do because they're always complaining about how hard life is, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose it's a natural thing.
Right, right. Well, that really, every time we complain, we're just keeping ourselves in a place of victimhood, which means there's going to be somebody out there that you feel has power over you. And, you know, that's going to make you feel powerless and helpless. And that's not a very useful state to be in if you really do want to make something of your life or be happy, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I gather that at the end of your book you have a guided meditation which you indicate will help someone to travel to their sacred place. What type of meditation is that?
Now, this is the Soul Radiance book you're speaking of?
Yes.
Yes, the Soul Radiance book. It's a very simple journey. You know, all I do with people, it can take 5 minutes for people who have done, you know, journey work before. But really what it's about is just allowing your body to be an open receptor site, which is part of the first part of the meditation, to receive the resources of your soul. And then I guide a person to their soul essence, which lives really, yes, within us, but also just beyond us, because it's connected to everything. And it's the journey to the soul essence is always available to us because we've already proclaimed, you know, in our living that we want more of A, B, C, or D. Okay? So let's say we want to feel more powerful in our lives. Okay? True power. True sense of power. Not willpower, not power over, but a sense of true power in our life. Okay? When we go to that soul essence, automatically our soul and all it's connected to will connect us to that essence of power that we're wanting. It's just always available. It's amazing. And it can take, like I said, 5 or 10 minutes. It's quite remarkable. The key, of course, is to bring it back and allow it to be felt as a felt sense in your body so you start to know the experience of power. And it's not just something that lives out there that you, you know, don't have access to.
Right. Yeah, that sounds very easy. I think some meditations are perhaps too long for people to hold on to it and their minds sort of get distracted.
Yeah, and it's not... go ahead,
I was going to say, do you favor meditations of various kinds and have them in each of your books?
This is the key meditation that I bring forward because that seems to be my job.
Yeah.
And my love, because I find a lot of people are frustrated with normal meditation that just stills the mind. It's fine to still the mind, but I find that to really connect, you have to move beyond the level of the mind. And then there are meditations to help you ground. And a lot of people, grounding, the truest sense of grounding is a sense of connecting to your soul and bringing that in. Then you feel whole again, because that's the only thing you're missing. It's not really just your connection to the earth realm that you're missing. You're missing your connection to spirit and soul. That's what you really want.
Right. Now, just keeping on your soul mastery books, something that I'm interested in. Do you actually help people to consult their Akashic records?
Yes. I teach people how to access their Akashic records and work from them for themselves and for others.
All right. So what is the object of that?
Well, the Akashic records is a record of all knowledge for all souls for all time. Okay? So when you go to the Akashic records, you're reading the energy and information of the soul, your soul or another person's soul. And if you want to be intuitive and get guidance as it relates to soul-level information, the Akashic records is your place. It's not just intuitive information that might relate to energy.
Hmm. Right, so that's a useful thing.
Yeah.
How do you actually do that? I mean, I could understand if you could tap the Akashic records, but can you get anybody to be able to do that?
Well, anybody who wants to.
Yeah.
They have to have a desire to, but I've taught, you know, many people. And, you know, again, because I am thrilled to offer people success and fulfillment, I will make sure that they are able to connect to the records if they sign up for a class with me in that. I will make sure that they're able to do that, absolutely. We work with whatever it is that's keeping them from being able to do it.
Right. So
yes.
Does this come about where someone has a problem that you perhaps identify or feel relates to a previous life?
Yeah, previous life, yes, or a soul dimension before they did lifetimes.
Mm, right.
Yes.
I was very pleased to see that you also mentioned that soul has many helper aspects and is connected to guides, angels, councils of beings, and soul families.
Yes, absolutely. It's sort of like endless. We just let it keep expanding, and we go, oh my gosh, there's that dimension and that dimension and that dimension that is part of us. And the more we connect, the more dimensions of creativity that we bring in, and it will relate to angels, earth fairies, guides, you know, every word we can come up with, you know, a collective divine presence, you know, a whole host of beings, yeah, legions
right.
of beings.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. I suspect myself, from what I've read of our angelic presence, that perhaps many people have been helped by them to avoid perhaps serious accidents or even death.
Oh my goodness.
But they wouldn't know that it was attributed to their intervention or help. Is that
correct.
What you find?
I am now living in the last year in Santa Monica near LA.
Yeah.
And it appalls me when I'm out there in traffic, I'm going, there has got to be divine intervention happening constantly.
What you mean?
What, not just
you mean,
here, everywhere.
You mean to protect you or the other drivers?
Not just me, but everybody. I mean,
right.
There should be, so to speak, according to the way we operate, not just me, everybody, there should be far more
right.
fender benders, whatever you might want to call it, going on. Absolutely. It's just amazing.
I also think there is a fact there that when people don't understand they have all this help around them, of course, it's available and it comes to them, certainly if they ask for help. Not that they'll necessarily get exactly what they want, but I do think you have to ask to get.
Yes, yes, because our guidance needs an invitation because of free choice. Can you imagine if, you know, our guidance said, Oh, no. I have a better idea for you today.
Yes.
We're very, you know, we should be very thankful. Okay? Yeah, very thankful that they wait for the invitation.
Right.
Okay. So what that means is they are available to us, but we have to call on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I mean, personally speaking, now I'm aware that I have that help around me, I think I can possibly think of four different occasions when I, or five even, when I could have easily been or ended up in an accident and could have even died.
Yeah.
The most strange things have happened, and I think, hello, one of my angels is around and helped me there. Just to give you a quick example, I went to step off the curb, and I thought the buses came from the opposite direction to what I was looking in, or rather, they were coming from the opposite direction to what I was looking in. And I went to step off the curb, and there was a bus coming, and I just got turned round on the spot. Logically, if you take a step forward down a curb, the momentum would carry you forward. But I was twisted round on the spot.
It's supposed to.
Afterwards, I thought, my gosh, I could have been killed or had a really serious accident.
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah. So that's a value right there of connection. When we are more connected and we embody that connection, then we're working in co-creation, and it's like our guidance is right with us in our life, guiding our life. And so those kinds of things automatically happen because, of course, they have our best interests, and, of course, they are going to make sure our life works because we've asked them to.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And because I personally believe that we have a life planned of a kind, I mean, i.e. there is a purpose to life, I think sometimes when we have to walk into those hard lessons of life, they have to stand by and let us sort of make mistakes to learn from it.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, I've been thinking in the last while that we really don't have to have those hard lessons in order to learn. There's so much about life lessons, and, you know, this is your life lesson, and, you know, the harder it is, the more you gain from it. I don't think it has to be that way anymore. You did not have to get hit by the bus that day to learn to pay attention. You were given the opportunity not to be hit by the bus to remember, connection creates life. I don't have to be hit by a bus to value my life, you see. If we're truly in co-creation, we don't need to be learning lessons by challenges and hard knocks.
Although we might have invited them in that particular lifetime by living a bit wildly.
Yes, but exactly.
Be that as it may, do people come to you with addiction problems that you can handle?
Years ago I worked with sex addictions and alcohol addictions and things like that. I haven't as much recently, but I definitely have worked with them, absolutely. And it really does go back to a spiritual situation.
Right, yes. Now, the minutes are ticking by. I want to give you an opportunity before I have to end the program to give people your website address. And I believe you'd also like to give your email address, because you invite people to email you for sessions with you.
Sure, yes. And all of my email address is all on the website, but I will give it to you. So the website is soulmastery.net, but you can, in fact, Google Soul Mastery. You can actually Google Soul, and it will bring up my name, because I have Soul written on every little thing everywhere.
Right.
And my email address is Susan with two N's at soulmastery.net. And I have, you know, books on there, recordings, classes, workshops. My current class coming up is Create the Life You Love for 2012, and that's a teleclass which would be open to anybody. And I'm really excited about that, because so many people are going, I'm so excited about 2012, And yes. What do I do? What am I supposed to be doing to really make it be the most it can possibly be? And that's
right,
what I'm
yes.
going to help people do, is make it the most advantageous to them as possible.
Yes, I agree. I think subconsciously many of us know that this is a special year, and maybe this is why you get people coming to you knowing they should be doing something, but they need some help.
Yes, exactly. How do I get from A to B from a spiritual perspective? So I keep spirit intact, but I make my life work during
yes.
2012. Yes, exactly.
Now, is there anything that I haven't mentioned and spoke to you about that you would like to add before we get to the last couple of minutes?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What might that be? Sure. Here's what's showing up right now.
Mm-hmm.
We each are magnificent souls, and as you learn to access your soul gifts and embody them and bring them into your life, then what happens is you start to feel like you are in love with life itself. And that, to me, is true enlightenment in for a physical dimension person. So, yes, we want to feel peaceful, etc., but the key is that we want to feel a sense of being in love with life and enjoying our life thoroughly. Happy people are the bottom line to what we really want and what inspires life on planet Earth.
Right. Yes, that's a
yeah.
very good one. You put that over in a way that suggested you are inspired, or do you even do channeling?
Yes. It's conscious channeling. And that's what I teach people to do, is using their intuition to be, in essence, a conscious channel, which means being able to connect with large dimensions of guides while you are conscious, and have them bring through what they have to offer very easily and readily,
yes.
while you're just walking in life.
So I've had friends who've tried to approach it that way, but they found the problem was that when they were in that quiet period, when they were trying to do it, they couldn't be sure whether it was the product of their own mind.
Oh, yes. Well, that's why I love my intuition classes, because I teach people how to know the difference between the voices. The voices in your head, your mind, and those intuitive voices. It's so essential to the process to keep us moving forward and honoring our intuition. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, I have to thank you very much, Susan, for coming onto the program. It's been a very good chat with you. We've covered a lot of things, and I do hope your book is very successful. When did you release Soul Reunion?
First part of last year, 2011.
Oh, did you? Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Fine, so you've got plenty in stock.
Yes, between Amazon and your local bookstore and the ones that I have, there are plenty, and they can always be printed.
Right, that's wonderful. Well, thanks
yes.
again, Susan. It's been very nice to talk with you.
It's been fantastic being with you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, friends, that was another nice chat. We seem to have so many authors around publishing really excellent books. Next week, I have Sophie Rose, who is also an author, and we're going to talk about her book, The Way of the Heart, which is the teachings of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. So that's another one that sounds a little bit different and very interesting. So thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.